This is Lady Frost.
And this savage gentleman, Victor Benjamin.
And you're listening to the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales.
The biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Every woman I date, beautiful mind and body. What a happy ending I see. My mind has been enabled. In the memory you overflow. I wanna be your superhero. Or even if I tumble fall, I'm okay. You have that effect on me. But I need you desperately. You know I need you desperately.
And we are back with another episode of the Greg DeMarco Show, with another episode of Greg DeMarco No Showing. I don't know what's going on with this clown, but it's becoming a usual for Greg to no show on his own show. But I'm here, Big Rick. You can follow me on Twitter at TheBigRick62. But before you do that, go to TheChairShot.com to get all your news, opinions, analysis, and podcasts. And when you get down from TheChairShot.com, you need to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick you up an official, like a referee's whistle, chairshot.com t-shirt. I hate plugging Jesus Does the Job, but it's on there. Props to Platt. Hashtag something about tag team wrestling. I think that's Patrick's deal. I don't know.
Save tag team wrestling.
Yes, that's what it is. But ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Then go to PayPal.com/RickyForSaints. Send your boy some money. I got a house coming up. I need to buy some stuff. But let's introduce the people that are on this show every week, and that is my brother on the East Coast from another mother. It is late as a bitch out here, but you know what, Miranda? We're doing this for you. I actually was taking a nap. My alarm went off. I saw Patrick had texted me, and I was like, let's get this show on the road. The guy who will steal your wallet and then help you look for it, Mr. Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Is that it?
No, I don't really have a lot to say when it comes to the introductions. I can't even get my own Twitter handle right. I'm down to, you had me up to 434, and I think I haven't looked today. Let's see. 433.
Jesus,
I'm back down.
Lost one.
But here's the thing. I'm hoping I get some hate followers today.
The hashtag, what is it, Patrick500?
Patrick500.
We are never
That's about 2 months old.
What was the original goal? What was the original goal to get there?
We basically just try to, I think we just try to add 100 followers. And then once we get to that, because it was hashtag Patrick 400.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted something that got a ton of follows for me, like a bunch of retweets and stuff. Had to do with something about the WWE product that like people just took off with. And so we got well over 400, like to where it was like safe that I was going to still be in the 400s.
Right.
So we were like 420-ish, and that was when Greg decided that it was time to aim for 500. And Jesus. since then I've been at, you know, 425 until you the push from you a couple weeks ago, Rick, which I think came think came more from us running down the West Coast in their time zone.
I'm on the hashtag Big Rake 5100. I got 40. Yeah. I got 40 left to go. But let's get to hashtag one, because this person doesn't even have a Twitter. I don't even know your nickname. The biggest slut on the Western Hemisphere is from what I know her from. Miss Miranda Morales. How are you doing, Miranda?
With an intro like that, how can I not be doing well?
Hey, I just took it from Greg's intro, so blame whoever made that.
Yeah, from Greg's intro. Yes, I am known as the Twitterless heroine, the hashtag queen of soft style. That's how I like my shirts. ProWrestlingTees.com. Don't forget to order soft style. But yes, I am not on Twitter. And especially with everything that's happened over the past week or so on Twitter, still not sure if I want to be part of the Twitter community. It's a lot going on. It's very, very intense.
Hey, Seth apologized.
He did apologize twice.
He did. He apologized twice. He apologized kind of to the Twitterverse, and then he apologized directly to Will Ospreay.
Then he came back with another one.
Oh, did he do a third one? I missed the third one.
I don't know, but this one is the one where I said, all right, this guy is sounding like a fucking little... I couldn't be more proud to be a champion with this company represent hashtag WWE and the entire industry in the way that it deserves. No more garbage tweets. I can and will be better. Kayfabe is officially dead.
Apparently. You tell someone to do better, and yeah, I guess they listen, so... Good for you, Seth, I guess.
Oh, well, I guess, okay, real quick, around the table, what do we think? Somebody tell Seth to make some tweets today.
I don't...
Think Seth got a little direction?
No, I think...
No?
I think Becky told him what to do.
You think the man told him what to do?
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, you know, she wears the pants, but maybe it's probably been bothering him a little bit, the backlash and how he probably didn't expect... for it to be so negative, and I get to, as a champion, you probably put yourself on kind of a higher pedestal, as and being a WWE champion, you are set more of as a role model for a wide range of audiences, especially kids. So maybe that kind of started to seep in, and even though that topic was above what a lot of kids would understand, just the perception of what he said and how he said it and his attitude probably just didn't jive well with how he wants to portray himself as current champ. So, you know, I'm sure it was just him. I don't think anyone told him to do it. No one wrote it for him. Vince wasn't in his ear.
No, I think it's something like this. You have to follow through. You just can't backtrack, man. You can't.
Right.
If you're the champion, you're the self-proclaimed best in the world. You got to just you got to roll with it.
I mean, I think it was fair for him to apologize, talking about, you know, the type of money people make, you know, kind of rubbing that in Will's face and stuff like that, and using that as a comparison as to whether one of them was a better wrestler. The apology that was directed to Will, I didn't question it as much. The other one, where it was kind of this, the one that you read, Rick, that's really general and is like, I'm representing the company. And like, that was the one I was like, and maybe it wasn't that he was given a script, but maybe somebody was like, maybe put something out there about that kind of walking back. I don't know. And maybe it's a conspiracy theory, Miranda. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe
that I'm spinning out there.
Maybe Vince figured out how to log in Seth's account.
Oh yeah.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah, you could pay people on the dark web to like hack into. Not that I know, but I.
Yeah, of course not.
I know people who know people who possibly tried that. So
that's amazing for somebody not on Twitter. So
right, and on the West Coast. That's
like, I know too much. Why get a Twitter when I know too much?
I gotta tell you today, on my feed, and this has happened to me a couple times, there is there's a wrestler out there who goes by Miranda, spelled the same way, and it's just your first name. And every time I see it pop up with a tweet about wrestling, I'm like, oh, she finally got it.
She finally got one.
Oh boy. And then I look and I was like, that shit, that's the wrong Miranda. That's not even close to right Miranda.
Not even
well, she's gotta be when I try to find her on, when I found her on Facebook, you couldn't even friend request her. So, I mean, she's definitely protected by whatever social media wall she wants to be on. So,
yeah, I'm, you know, I'm a little bit hidden, and maybe one day I'll come out, you know, out into the Twitter sphere or something like that. Maybe I won't use archaic Facebook. I don't know. But in the meantime, I'm going to, you know, just be an observer, be someone who just, you know, lurks. I'm a lurker.
Do you have a burner? Do you have a burner account?
Who knows?
Oh, look at that.
The plot thickens. She's going to observe it from another account.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, we haven't made a bet lately. Greg hasn't thrown a bet out there in a while.
That is true. There has been some stipulations out there that if a bold prediction does come true or just happen, then I am obligated to create a Twitter account. So maybe, I don't know if we want to try something for Extreme Rules or even hold off till SummerSlam, but I will hold to it. If a bold prediction happens, you know, I will create a Twitter account.
And she'll have 500 followers within a day.
Oh, yeah.
And then right in my face. Everybody will be all like.
Yeah, I mean, it'll get awkward, but it'll be awesome.
It got weird, didn't it?
Yeah, so, it'll get
Before we get to Patrick, I know Patrick wants to start us off.
I got things on my mind.
Yes. Let me just, guys, please remind me. I've been speaking to Greg about this for the last few weeks. We're going to induct the first member into the Chairshot.com Hall of Fame on this show.
Wow.
Self-deserving. Me and Greg have been going back and forth, and I've been plugging it on Twitter. Platt thinks it's him. It is in no way, shape, or form Platt. You're not worthy as this person. So,
wow,
this is big. This is going to be the first inductee into the Chairshot Hall of Fame. And just don't let me forget, because it's important.
This isn't going to be like one of those like Impact Hall of Fame things where we're like jumping the gun on somebody that's not in the WWE Hall of Fame. So,
not
like,
at all. This person is a major contributor and has been there since since day one, but he's been there for a while. But, yeah, so Greg agrees that this person should be the first inductee, and we're going to make a sort of a big deal out of it at the end of the show. So,
okay,
just a little teaser of what's on tap, but let's get started here. Patrick, you have been, I don't want to say burning my DMs, but we've been going back and forth, and every time we talk about it, you always bring up this. So let's just get started off hot, sir. It's your time to shine.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it my time to shine, but around Thursday of last week, I started messaging Rick when I knew he was going to do the show, because I just finished listening to the most recent episode of Grilling JR. And before I go too far into this, I want to establish a couple things. One, I love Jim Ross. He was a big part of what made wrestling amazing in the 90s, in the 80s in WCW. He is a master of his craft. He is terrific. And two, the episode that we're going to be discussing and the episode that he was sharing is from the WWE draft in 2008, which is famous for Jim Ross being drafted from the Raw to SmackDown brand and him not knowing until that moment that they were going to move him over. Though he had an inkling because of some stuff he'd written online about them not, again, basically that they wouldn't do it, that he didn't want to do it. And this was a pretty significant decision that really hurt him professionally, hurt him to the point where he nearly quit the company that next day, nearly didn't show up to SmackDown. And so that content, I was really interested in this episode because I really did want to hear his perspective and what he was going through and what he experienced. And those feelings and that stuff that he describes later in this podcast is very real, is very, very fascinating to hear. And honestly, heart went out to that guy when you hear his experience and how that was and how he was treated. And the WWE did some horrible things to Jim Ross.
Yeah, they do.
What really stuck in my craw about this show, though, was the first hour or so of the show prior to them actually talking about this episode, where I really felt like Jim Ross sounded like a bitter, angry shill for AEW. And in a way that became distracting to the program itself and really turned me off to Jim Ross. And it's one of those things that I get that the guy works for AEW. I get that the things that they were going to talk about in regards to what happened in the WWE at that time were events in his life that made him very upset and angry and were very hurtful. But to completely disregard everything that the WWE has done in the way that it felt like it from my perspective, and I'll own this as my perspective, the dude sounded like every moment that he worked within the WWE was trash, and that the company is not a professional wrestling company, that it didn't know how to run anything, that nothing made any sense, and that AEW is just this amazing superior product to the WWE on the strength of three shows. And it drove me nuts. And I think the final straw really for me, and I can't remember where it was in the show, but he was talking about people challenging Vince and that nobody ever does it and nobody ever did it in his inner circle or that nobody really challenged it. And at one point, he gets very specific without getting specific to talk about somebody who was gone for 10 years and said while they were gone that they challenged Vince. No, you didn't challenge Vince. You didn't do anything. You just sat there and you were a stooge for the guy and you just did whatever you wanted.
Right.
And to me, it was a very clear statement about Bruce Pritchard.
Is it the comment he said, because I don't know, you were gone for 10 years?
Yes.
Yes.
That was it. And
I'm shocked Conrad didn't make a noise or something at that point.
Well, and that was the other thing, is it was, you know, as I listened to that again, that first part, you know, he taught everything that, like, Jim didn't really challenge Conrad in the way that I've heard other personalities on the show kind of challenging. And you know, I listened to 83 Weeks. I listened to What Happened When with Tony Schiavone. I listened to Something to Wrestle. I listened to all the podcasts. The thing that I found really interesting that Schiavone, Bischoff, and Pritchard will all do is they just seemed a bit more balanced in their assessment of what's good and what isn't good and what worked and what didn't work and what the WWE does and what they don't do well. And for about an hour and a half, it just sounded like there were these grapes. They were sour. We were going to squeeze every ounce of juice out of them. And we were going to talk about AEW. And like, 30 minutes of the show, I was like, oh, hey, did you know that there's an AEW show coming on this weekend? Like, did you all know that Fyter Fest is coming? And it's going to be the best show in the history of ever, and it's going to be, like, completely different from the WWE? That was problematic. And it just drove me nuts. And so I asked Miranda and Rick both to give a listen, and basically my question is, am I crazy? Am I hearing too much? Did you hear the same thing? What were your all's take from that? And yeah, Miranda, go for it.
Yeah. And I kind of question this too. I'm a very big Jim Ross fan as well. Definitely one of my wrestling idols. I idolized him, I think, before I idolized any actual wrestler, just because of how much his storytelling brought me into wrestling. But I was, and I had heard about how things went with the 2008 Rumble. I'm not Rumble, the draft, and kind of just in passing for a while, had heard his response to it. And this was really the first time I had heard all the details from him directly about how he felt and what he was so upset about. And it almost was like a therapy session in a way, as how he was acknowledging that some of this he really just needed to let go, but was still carrying on to a lot of that bitterness. It seemed for just the lack of communication. One, that it just seemed like it was very intentional that they decided to move him over to SmackDown specifically because he said something. So going back onto the conspiracy theories, I think that's a theory he still holds very, very true. And it only kind of perpetuates this mad scientist opinion that a lot of people have of Vince McMahon, that he's doing things out of spite and in entertainment, and whoever that involves and however that may, you know, hurt someone's feelings or make them feel like they are out of the in the dark, so be it. So I think it perpetuates a pretty bad stereotype, and I use the word stereotype loosely. Maybe it truly is that way still, or maybe that was just kind of a period for him, but that's kind of a big thing that will continue to feed the internet, is this story from 2008 is only going to perpetuate. I mean, the man just doesn't listen to people, will do what he wants, and will do things in spite just because he can. And I think that also then kind of feels more too into this talk about AEW, that, you know, AEW is so different because it is led by that same kind of thought process or randomness. Somebody runs something, makes the
difference. All right, sorry about that, folks. We had some technical difficulties, but Miranda, go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so I believe that this story kind of just feeds into that narrative, and then tying that in more into AEW, which, you know, even just briefly mentioning it in the same breath will still get fans thinking, well, this company is so different. It is so much better because it's not doing the things that Vince did back you know, with Jim Ross. So I think that there's almost this level of like tie-in, that two very different topics, but because they were talked about under the same podcast, is going to lead to a lot of people to really sway their decision making on AEW based off of just a few shows, because Jim Ross talks just so terribly about his time with WWE. So I think it's almost like this at a psychological level. So I don't think that this is far-fetched, if anything. I think that because all of this was tied together, a lot of it is coming as this is almost like an attack on Vince and WWE by this story. And also, by the way, here's AEW. He didn't necessarily mention anything about, you know, management and any of that, but because that story for WWE is so bad, that AEW automatically looks better.
So two things to what you were saying. A good point on the Vince, Miranda. I encourage everybody to after you listen to the show, go to the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast. He just made his return after a six-month break. His second show was Mark Henry. I want everyone to listen to that podcast. That's arguably one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Mark Henry spends an hour and a half of putting Vince McMahon over. Mark Henry praises Vince McMahon in almost every aspect that you can praise somebody. To your point of making, you know, like you said, WWE did do a lot of bad things to JR, but at no point in time could JR not say, I'm going home. And then WWE would like, you stayed for a reason. You said in your very own podcast, it's not always about a paycheck, but at a certain point, you have to show it. You just can't say it. If at a certain point it's not about a paycheck, then you need to get up and go home. But one thing I hate about anybody that does any business, any company, whether it's WWE or whoever, you go on a show, you go like Jon Moxley, perfect example, goes to Jericho's podcast, says a nice few things about WWE, then buries them for the rest of the show. While in the same breath saying, I've paid off my house, I've paid off my mother's house, I have a paid off vehicle, I'm known across the world. Also in the same breath, putting the same company that gave you all of that and millions of dollars in your bank, and then you're going to bury them. I think it's complete horse shit. I think it's petty. I don't understand why you would do that. Yeah, I understand you had to kiss Vince McMahon's ass, but so did 18 other people. And none of them are complaining, because you were getting your $87,000 every week. And if it wasn't always about a paycheck, then you should have dropped the ball and went home.
Hey, you know, maybe I will push back a little bit. At least with Moxley, he saw that contract through.
Well, just because you saw the contract through doesn't mean you can go. You got to remember that your wife still works there, dude. And you know how things are ran. The last thing you want to do is bury that company.
And his wife is still working. Like his wife's still fine.
Okay, but then how about you give all the money back to the company that made you what you are? Because before them, you were getting shot up with barbed wire in someone's backyard.
He was paid to do work. Correct. He did the work that he was paid to do.
And then he complains about it.
But dude, I worked for the University of Connecticut for 3 years, left on good terms. Working at that place was hell. I hated working there. But I still did it. I still left. And I talk about my experience. Now, I was okay with the Jericho podcast. It was the second extended cut, like the 4 hour. Who did he do that with?
Wade Keller.
The Wade Keller one. Where that one, I was like, okay, now you're just piling on, dude. Because I can get the idea of being under a contract, maybe being happy for a while, things changing and being miserable. What I found disingenuous about JR and where I think it was different is JR really, and I don't know if it's kind of what Miranda was getting at, that it was the emotion of the podcast itself and the subject matter as well, to where you're really dwelling on something that made you miserable, to where you then talk about the whole experience as if it was the worst thing you ever did in your life. Like, I didn't like working at the University of Connecticut by the time I left, but when I got there, and I mean, I met my best friend there. And I had a good experience early, but things changed as I got there and wanted out. And when my contract was done and I could get out, I left. I'm not going to be disingenuous about why I left, but what I found different with Ross is Ross really, and it could just be this episode, and honest to goodness, it could just be this episode. It really felt like the WWE is trash, doesn't know what they're doing in terms of being a pro wrestling company. Vince McMahon is a tyrant who, you know, everybody is a puppet to him. And this was the most awful experience of my life the whole time I was there. And that's where I said, like, I think that for lack of a better, I think that, you know, at the very least, Moxley acknowledged that, you know, at first it was okay and it was fine and it was good. And then things changed. You know, he talked about it for 5 hours total when you start adding a podcast, but at least he had that. You know what I mean?
And that was your tweet that, right, I think got you the followers. It's from what, yeah, I gather,
right,
he didn't agree with his employer and he left, fulfilled his contract, and that was it. Because essentially, right, that's all it was.
Right.
I don't know anybody that goes to work and agrees with their employer about everything.
Sure.
You know?
And I think the bigger thing, too, is just showing how illogical the decision making is. And I think that, but you can run around in circles in any job when a decision is made with no logic or even merit behind it. You will literally wrap yourself in it for years, like he has. And in some ways, there has to be a point where you literally let it go, because there really wasn't any logic. And he did express kind of towards the end what the conversation should have looked like. As far as them discussing with him, you know, the decision to move him to SmackDown and how understanding he would have been about it, you know, supposedly, but still, that if they would have just talked to him about it, just like in any work situation, if you just kind of come forward about a decision that's being made, it usually goes over a lot better than surprise, here's the decision that's been made without any knowledge. So I do think that there is a point where you kind of just, you can kind of talk about it as far as in a historical sense, but the emotion behind it, I think eventually you have to let it go.
I think did we lose Miranda?
I think we lost Miranda.
Emotion.
There you are.
There you go.
It's done through emotion. It's done through the moment. It's done to get a rise out of me. And it also, with the backdrop of the McMahon's Millions event that was also happening too, I think the entire story perpetuates. There's so much going on at a given point that, you know, logic is behind his decision, but it's always behind what we get a reaction. And so I also think that the entire story just seems to revolve around, there's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason, it's just one person making these decisions because they can. And again, kind of perpetuating this mad scientist setting, and probably giving fans a reason to say, you know, why do I want to support a company that doesn't listen to a fan, that's listening to black person.
I actually love that you brought up the McMahon's Millions thing. Because that was one of the things that I found. They really took Vince and the WWE to task over this McMahon's Millions thing. And looking back at it, I never really saw it as a big deal. And I never really saw, like, and the purpose of, like, popping a rating, and they made a big point to talk about popping a rating. And this, you know, we've talked about ratings a lot when it comes to wrestling and what does that even really mean. And the business on a whole in 2008, it was the WWE as the only game. And ratings were declining across the board before McMahon's Millions thing, you know, was coming along. And it was just one of those things, like, it was a contest that was a drop in the bucket for what the WWE is, but the way it was portrayed again by like Jim and Conrad was like, this was like this ridiculous economic drain. When, if you're to believe Jim Ross, it was Vince's own money. Like, it was Vince's $1 million that he put out there. So what did the company really lose or gain other than some ratings?
It also perpetuates that this is a big ego trip for Vince. Sure. Because they also talked about the summer before, that being the big, you know, limo explosion.
To kill Vince, yeah.
So it's also just perpetuating, he just loves being the center of attention. So, I think psychologically it's putting some things into people's minds that he's egotistical, adjectives you want to throw at him. But I also think that inherently by throwing in AEW, it's kind of programming you to like AEW and hate Vince.
Yeah, and I get that. It's funny, when Patrick sent a message, I didn't even read the whole thing. I saw keywords, JR and some other stuff, and my instant response was... I have to go back. But my response to you was almost immediately... And I said, I get that every week that he is just putting over AEW like it's God's gift to wrestling. Like, that's it. And I get why he's doing it.
Sure.
I really do. They're paying you. I get that. 100%. But to do that and to act like WWE is the biggest piece of shit and they have no idea what they're doing because you had a bad experience. I mean, come on, dude. They gave you everything you have. Show them a little bit of respect. Just a little.
I would say that, you know, everything that Jim Ross has, I don't know that he had a pretty solid run before.
He wasn't worth $8 million when he got signed in 94.
But he also, he could have left WCW and still been doing a decent living. Like, he would have been okay. Would it have been $8 million? Would he, you know, would he be the person he is today? No, I don't agree with that at all.
There would be no JR's BBQ sauce.
That's true. We wouldn't have any barbecue sauce. But what I do think is really interesting is to juxtapose everything that we've kind of been talking about the just kind of the level of putting over AEW. That was done, and I think Conrad was just as responsible in that bit too. Like, and you know, Conrad has a relationship with there. He's admitted it. He's talked about it. But to juxtapose that with the product that then was put out that weekend, and talking about Fyter Fest, because I'm going to be honest. I watched Fyter Fest live. I actually took the time to make the Bleacher Report account. Yep.
Good
because
job.
It was, well, and here's why. Because the whole purpose of these free shows is to add viewers.
Right.
And so those shows really need to be show me shows. And they didn't show me much.
Ooh.
I know. Shots fired.
Damn, I wish I had my iPad hooked up. I'd do the horn.
Right. Exactly. We always have Miranda. But here, let me say why, because we can talk about all, you know, chair shots, the you know, kind of the level of violence, the blade jobs, whatever. We can talk about that. That's fine. I didn't see anything on that show that told me that this was anything unique or special to something I haven't seen in an independent show previously. And that didn't convince me to spend $50 to watch the show in Chicago.
But you're going to do it anyway. No, I'm not. I tell you right now, I'm not going to.
I didn't pay to see Double or Nothing. I didn't pay to see All In. Like,
would you take Stomping Grounds as a measuring stick to order WrestleMania?
I will take a WWE pay-per-view and a known commodity and something that I know is going to bring me a level of entertainment that I've come to expect to spend and to spend my $10 on it.
Okay.
And I don't think it's unreasonable. And before people say, well, O'Dowd saying that, you know, AEW is a waste of $50. It's a waste of my $50. It's $50 I don't want to spend on that programming. And because I sat there to watch it, and there were a lot of things I had a problem with. First of all, the first half hour, that half hour pre-show or whatever, was everything that I've heard AEW apologists say that they hate. That was a sports entertainment half hour. You had the Firefest parody junk going on with Kenny Omega getting his budget cut backstage, taking the props away, people replacing models with mannequins for the, like, it's totally something that, I'm sorry, you would see the WWE do, and they would get lambasted for it. And they'd be like, well, Vince is out of touch with this joke. Which, by the way, how long ago was the Firefest thing? Has it been, what, like 2 years now?
Yeah, it's something. Like 2 years.
Yeah. So we're already a little dated with our jokes. So we're right in there with what pro wrestling does when they make jokes. And then you go into a goofy gimmick hardcore match. You have the librarians. And I was happy to see Allie on that show, by the way. I love Allie. She did interviews with Greg and I a couple times before she had made it to Impact and was always awesome. So it's always great to see her do. But I'm watching this show and I'm like, this is no different than what I would see in the WWE. And then we get to the main show, and really, I can put in Final Battle 2005 from Ring of Honor, and I basically have that show. In fact, I would say that there were better matches on that show than what I saw on Final Battle. I liked the 6-man tag. I enjoyed it. I love both Christopher Daniels and Shima, but I've seen that match 10 years ago. So it wasn't really like that. It's not a new match. Like, and they're great men. They're pros at their craft. Christopher Daniels is my favorite wrestler in the whole world. I've seen that match before, so it didn't move the needle for me. And then you get to, you know, that Cody match, and Mr. All In, but not All In Allen. And I'm sitting there watching it. You've got, you know, whether it's chair shots, whether it's really just dangerous bumps. That, again, I've seen the Briscoes do, that I've seen Jimmy Jacobs do, that I've seen, you know, any number of people do. And I'm like, I'm not paying money to see that. And I think the Young Bucks are overrated. I'm just going to say it. Like, I think the Young Bucks are really overrated. Right. All right.
Hold on.
No, they're overrated. I'm okay with
it. On that note, I want everyone to send the hate tweets to @WrestlingRealist, WrestlingRealng, Realist. That's Patrick O'Dowd. The Young Bucks are overrated. Send your hate tweets to Patrick. Because
if I could get a Young Buck to tweet at me that they're overrated, that would be super as well. That'd really get my followers up.
Oh, for sure. Take your sip. I want to just say real quick. It was I was in love with the Attitude Era, but it was you that said the Attitude Era actually was horrible. And it made me, this was a while back, you said it in the chat, and it made me go back, and I started watching on my off days and when the wife wasn't home, every episode of Monday Night Raw from the beginning of 97 through 2000. I've watched every episode of Raw. I can't agree with you more. It was absolutely,
it's bad,
fucking horrible. The only thing that drew my attention was the main event. Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, Kane. Other than that, it was complete trash. As a fan of the Attitude Era, I miss the chair shots to the head. And I enjoyed that. But knowing what we know now, and I am not a millennial, I am not a snowflake, I am all for violence, but also played football for 18 years. Knowing what we know now, I like the chair shots to the head, but I don't know if I agree with it. And I'm not trying to say that as a justice warrior on Twitter and a snowflake. I just, you can't go around hitting people in the head, because 5 years from now, you're not going to see that effect for 10 years. So right. It looks cool now. I'm shocked Austin is doing his podcast. I mean, you've seen how many times that guy got hit to the head with a chair. He's lucky to be as sane as he is. But you can't, as a fan of the Attitude Era, I loved it. But you can't do that. And all these bumps these talents are taking, they're not going to have a roster come October. You can't keep doing what they're doing to draw a pop and expect to have a full roster healthy consistently. They're doing too much, Patrick. They're doing too much.
Yeah, and one thing, I mentioned I'm a Twitter lurker. I didn't watch the show live. I was at a local wrestling event, but I was with some people who were on Twitter. I'm kind of just, that's how we were all keeping up with the events on Twitter. And to see the feedback on Twitter, that was the first time I'd seen a collective audience provide negative feedback to AEW. And that was surprising, but it also shows, you know, where the line is drawn.
Right.
And where that definition of we want something different, but we don't want this. And I was shocked, but also not that surprised, because the audience will turn quick. You do one mistake and they will turn on you. Everything in entertainment has shown us that. Every singer, actor, politician, like, wrestling is not immune to that. So it is good that it did happen, so that, you know, one, as a collective fan base, that we stand up and say, you don't have to do this. It is not necessary. And I understand that it's been talked about a lot, AEW and the form of wrestling that they do. A lot of the wrestlers view this as an art form. It is performance art. It is something that they take, you know, very, very seriously. And understand that all forms of wrestling is almost just a different form of art. However, that is a line that, going back to what Rick said, now that we know what happens to people physically with, you know, shots to the head in any sport, that is something that they don't have to do and they should stand up for. They are a wrestling company with a message. Use this opportunity to say, we don't have to do that. You stand up for so many things, but yet
just that you have the audience, especially one that's very just conscious about issues in sports and entertainment. So you don't have to do that. I understand if it's part of the kind of the artistic integrity of what you're trying to do. It did get Sean over. Totally can see that. Point proven, point made, but just to see the Twitter backlash on it was really surprising, but also that was kind of the Achilles heel, that it's not immune to Twitter backlash. It can happen, and I was just very surprised that it just happened so quickly. There's a lot of people still believing in AEW and the product, but it does have weaknesses, and that was a prime example.
Yep. I just think they're trying to prove, again, this may, at minimal, they're trying to prove how much freedom they have. So they're trying to do all these spots to impress the fans. And just like you said, they'll turn on you quick. And I was also very shocked to see the amount of negativity coming from diehard AEW fans. I did not expect it, but it's kind of good that you see that. And hopefully they know, all right, we did the chair. And if you look at the crowd when it happens, other than the exception of a few people camera side, it didn't get a big pop. People were more,
they really were like,
oh my God, I can't believe they just did that.
Yeah, and I mean, and that match had so much other stuff. I mean, that match had thumbtacks too. Was that Moxley?
That was Moxley.
My bad. I got all my blood guts. Right.
Kind of the backwards fall.
That's the one. just some dangerous bumps. And I want to go back to what I mentioned before. Until AEW has its programming on TNT, these free shows that they're putting on are important to building that audience that they want to have to continue this run going strong. And if you put out shows that don't necessarily, like I said, and like for me, didn't move the needle, or even worse, may turn somebody off. That's a tough thing to then try to get back.
I want to interrupt you. And speaking of turning off, don't expect to see this when they go on television, because sponsors will in no way, shape, or form have anything.
Well, there's already reports. And I actually almost brought one that I found today. There's already some rumors of what TNT is saying they can't do on the show. And I think the examples were no intergender wrestling, which I don't know that I don't know that I buy this at all. Okay. So I want to say that, like, I saw this on the interwebs, and it could very well be a lie, but, no blood, which is very typical. USA is the same sort of deal, I think, Fox. And there were a couple other ones, but it was very much, it was more along the lines of, like, the hardcore kind of like they assume that they're going to push an Attitude Era sort of product. And maybe if you've listened to 83 Weeks and you've listened to Eric Bischoff, he talked a lot about what the TNT executives and what Turner Broadcasting, like what kind of limits they put on their programming. A lot of the stuff that was in that report, and maybe I'll try and dig it up while Grant or Rick or Miranda are talking, but it was it very much felt like a lot of stuff that you heard Eric Bischoff talk about in 83 Weeks, about things that they were told they couldn't do. And so that's going to be a tough line. But if you tell a good story and you build a good story, I think that's the other thing that may not work for me very well right now. I don't really know AEW stories. You know, I know Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley are going to go after each other. And that's really kind of about it. Like, that's the big highlight that I've seen so far. I know we're working towards a tag team championship. Hopefully not the Young Bucks, because they're overrated. But I see it. But other than that, like, that's the other thing that you've really got to establish out of this is what's going to be driving me to watch for the following week? What's going to be driving me to start watching this show? And I don't think we'll know. I've said this repeatedly until 3 years from now, because I think it really takes about 3 years to build your audience, if they're given the chance to build that audience, to keep it going and move it forward in a way that'll build something and sustain it and hopefully grow it.
Moran, I want to get your opinion on something. And everyone thinks AEW is just going to be this everything we want as fans company, but I don't think they understand from a business point of view, as what we were touching on earlier. Once you get on television, your sponsors, just like Raw, they're going to tell you what they want. And at a certain point, you're not going to be able to cater to your fan base as much as you do the sponsors, because that's who's paying you. I want to get your opinion on, what do you think? Do you think the AEW diehards are going to just consistently stick to AEW no matter what, even though the sponsors are saying, we want this, but the fans are knowing that's really not what they want? Are they going to continue to back AEW just to back them, or are they going to get to the point where they're doing with WWE, where everything they're putting out is total shit?
That's a really good question, because you brought up the point that there's going to be a level of stubbornness to this, that you're going to watch and kind of be blinded to what is good or bad, that you're just going to stick to your guns and say AEW is great because it's not WWE. And they could produce a very similar product just in a shorter time frame, and fans still say, well, it's still great. And when they articulate why, maybe when they're saying it doesn't quite click. Well, you're saying a lot of things that WWE does. yet maybe they don't realize it because they're so stuck in this mindset. So I kind of agree with what you mentioned in the beginning. I think people are going to stick with it kind of out of stubbornness. I would say for at least a year. And I don't know how the product will evolve in year two or year three, but I do think there will get a point where if they do start feeling like this product is becoming too similar to WWE, there will be backlash. And I think there will be enough history or enough of a catalog of TV shows for them to be able to reference. And I think that will be important, is establishing at least the year's history of TV. And then I think from then they'll kind of, you know, be able to see, you know, where the patterns are. I don't think it's going to come right away. I think the excitement of just having another TV product is going to overshadow any negativity or any similarity that people may not see with WWE. So yeah, I'm going to say people just either not are going to be too stubborn to see it or just don't want to see it.
Patrick?
I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I was trying to find that standards of practice and stuff that was on there, because I think that's important, and I think that you two were hitting on exactly what I was trying to find, is that networks have a say, sponsors have a say, and it's terrific that you have the backing of the Khan family, but when you're trying to continue to keep that show going, you don't want to do what Dixie Carter did with Impact, where it was always on mommy and daddy's money and Panda Energy, and that was really about it. That was your revenue stream, and you found yourself losing to network after network after network. And you're just now, if stories are to be believed, maybe getting yourself back into some positive momentum.
And let's segue into that, because I know you wanted to talk about that. So, Access Television and Impact.
So, I mean, the rumor is that there is allegedly that Impact and Access Television are talking about a possible TV deal to bring Impact Wrestling to Access. And that, if reports are to be believed, that this is something that was actually, Access was approached a year ago and it didn't happen. And now here we are again looking at this possibility. And I think that's a big positive piece of news for Impact Wrestling. When you really consider the programming that's on Access, what they have, what they've put out there, you know, they've got New Japan. I don't see that going anywhere. They've done Women of Wrestling has been on there as well. They've had some MMA. It fits very well in with an audience that Access already has in place. And so if that's a real thing that comes to fruition, I think that is a good story for Impact. I don't know that it means anything in particular. Impact's not back. But I think that that's really huge. And when you look at, like, I don't know if anybody has watched Impact lately. Impact's not a bad little wrestling show.
I watch Impact strictly because of Disco.
Oh, really?
I swear, because I'm a huge fan of that podcast, Keeping It 100. And that's really the only reason I keep up with, is to see what Disco does from week to week. But I think this Access deal, man, look, I don't want to shit on Impact, because it really is. I think it's a better product than what anybody gives it credit for. I really do.
Yeah,
but I think this deal, it just helps them keep the lights on a little bit longer, helps them make payroll a little bit longer, and gives the talent another option to go if one and two fall through.
Sure.
And Patrick mentioned it's in good company. So in some ways it helps legitimize Impact in a way that some of the other networks hasn't been able to do. It's been on networks where it makes absolutely no sense that they're there. So to be in that company, it's also, well, if New Japan's on there, then maybe I should give Impact a try. Very much apples and oranges, but hey, you know, In the breakdown of it is better to have a network with already a solid history track record of both mixed martial arts and wrestling with an audience and something random like whatever it was on before that. I don't
remember. They're so bad. I'm trying to remember them. I can't even remember them.
There was, I want to keep saying Travel Channel, but that wasn't it. It was like
Destination America.
Yep.
Pop.
Pursuit.
Priscilla, oh my gosh, yes, access.
In fact, they're currently on Pursuit, right? Because I think I'm the only person who has like Pursuit because I bought like the
they're on Twitch.
I didn't know that was a channel.
It's one of those things that I like when we bought our house, myself and Mrs. O'Dowd, we're looking at satellite television packages, and I was like, you know what, just get everything. And so, yeah, so like
one of them's
like, oh,
bound
Pursuit.
To have Pursuit, right?
I'm like, well, yeah, that's channel 748. Here, let me click it. It's right next to Telemundo. And we flip it on there. But,
El Rey, you know, TV.
And we don't have to talk too much about Impact, but one of the things that I will say to kind of put over Impact is that was a company that if you hear, and you know, and again, like everybody I've ever heard describe that under the regime of the Carters has talked about how poorly run that company was. I really do think that they've introduced a lot of stability in that company in recent years. They have a lot more continuity in the storytelling that they can do. I'm crushed that they lost Eli Drake, because he was amazing, and he's going to be great wherever he ends up. But Don Callis does a good job over there, and it's just... It's a lot of the stupid that was going on with that show has gone away. And the word that I can go to describe is that they finally found their stability. They finally, it seems like, found a little bit more of their identity, or trying to get to a little bit more to what is true to what they can do. And I'm happy for them that they have this opportunity. Like, they don't have to be number two, but to have a good sustained wrestling company, I think that's awesome.
How are you going to have a 2-hour show and not have Liv Morgan on it?
I don't know.
That a centerpiece? You kind of want to.
Clearly, you do.
Yes. Yeah. Come on.
So now I know Rick's kryptonite.
Well, I mean, look. I'm just saying. Come on.
Rick, real quick, because I didn't watch SmackDown either. Was Carmella on the show?
Who?
Carmella.
Not. No.
Waste of a show. Throw out SmackDown.
Not ringing a bell, big dog. Not ringing a bell.
Yeah. Wasn't she on Raw?
Isn't she on the Superstars?
She pinned Alexa Bliss last night. Thank you very much.
I mean, she already had a big night, you know?
Yeah, but she should always be a part of the wild card. She is... got to help the 24/7 champ get his belt back.
Hey, I love how they're incorporating his wife.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She looks so pissed.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's awesome.
She looks so
pissed. Wife look. Like that's just the wife look all day.
Because you know our truth is ruining that honeymoon.
Oh, it's coming.
Their marriage. Yeah. Next time we see him, they're already in divorce court.
And she's leaving a little.
R-Truth's gonna be the judge. He's like, it was me all along, Drake.
Oh boy, man, you're really big on that.
I'm not gonna lie, I watch that. I'd watch that. I don't care. I don't care how lame that is. I would watch a divorce court with Drake, his wife, and R-Truth. And if you don't think you would, you're a liar.
You're a fucking liar.
I bet you're going to be with your little phone somewhere hidden, you know, trying to make sure people don't know you're watching it, but you're watching it.
And Carmella would be the bailiff.
Ooh, she would make such a bailiff.
She got like walk up with the Bible, hold that shit out like that. It'd be great. Yeah, so... let's talk about Raw for a second. Well, we got a little bit of time left. And I think one of the things that I noticed is that for some reason this week, all of the Twitterverse declared that Raw was great.
Reluctantly.
Well, yeah, Paul Heyman saved Raw. Paul Heyman saved wrestling. So that's apparently the collective out there. Is that
right?
Yeah, Paul.
Heyman,
the hero.
So what do you think? Did
do you just
Paul
laugh? Fucking, do you laugh at these guys? I mean, and when I say these guys, I mean the Twitterverse. I give up trying to figure these clowns out. I really do. Right. It's like if you speak any good on WWE, you're going to get chastised. So they think, oh, I just might as well just shit on WWE and join the majority. And Greg's tweet today, it was just something that I'm not good with words. I can be thinking one thing and not know how to say it. But Greg's tweet today was just perfect. It was in a nutshell, if you say, oh, well, Raw was actually good this week, it was, you're wanting it to be bad. And I don't understand.
Like, hate to admit it or something like that. Yeah.
And it's like, I don't understand. I don't get why anybody would want anything to be bad on something you love. That's like me when football starts. Oh, I hope half these games suck so the NFL won't succeed. Right. It's like, no, I want everyone to succeed. And right. I don't think people understand that you can be on both sides. You really can, regardless right. of who's running Raw or who's running SmackDown. So, but yeah, to Miranda's point, Paul Heyman is just the savior. And right. Who would have, if it was this easy, why didn't we just do it 12 years ago, you know?
We talked about my opinions of Paul Heyman, too. You know I don't like Paul Heyman, too, right? Right.
I do not. Why not?
I don't like the Paul Heyman character. I like Paul Heyman, the mind. I think he has a great mind for the business. I think that his character really doesn't put people over as much as it puts him over.
So you're trying to tell me you didn't like when Paul Heyman tripped over the ropes at Super Showdown and cost Brock Lesnar the cash-in? That's not something you enjoyed?
No, not really. Okay. One, I didn't watch Super Showdown because where was that taking place?
Some kingdom. Right. It was some kingdom.
Yeah. Blood money, my friend.
Undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location.
Parts unknown.
Here's my thing. And then I want to hear Miranda's take on this too. Because I do think this harkens back to a point that Miranda made very early in the show when we were talking about Jim Ross and that narrative. Well, Sassafras, yeah. But that narrative and that idea that we're saying, hey, this stuff is awful and is terrible and you should hate it or you should not like it and that it's not run properly and this is bad. And then that carries on into the Twitterverse. And you suddenly did on social media, too. It wasn't just the Twitterverse. Like, there's a Facebook group that I'm a part of that same sort of deal was like, oh, I gotta hand it to Raw. Can't believe it, but they were good this week. Must be Paul Heyman. And then you come to learn that, you know, like Paul Heyman didn't write any of the show. He just learned what happened. It's objectively terrible.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around some of this sometimes.
Right.
Just because it's If it's not one theory, it's another. I brought up kind of this I haven't seen too much of, but I'm sure it's going to go out there of, oh, Raw's just responding to what AEW did at Fyter Fest. So if it's not one theory, it's going to be another theory. It just happens timing-wise. All of these stories are happening within the same week. And just as these announcements come up, now all of a sudden Raw's changing so much of its format, so it has to be an effect of this. I think two people lose sight of, I'm pretty sure there isn't a wrestling fan that watches every single moment of Raw and likes every match, every segment.
Yeah.
They're judging, you know, the show by either one or two, and maybe a few more bad segments over, and then judging that over good ones, or taking the good segments that they like and letting that overshadow the rest of the show. And I think that beginning portion of the show with that match between Braun and Bobby Lashley just took everyone to this new parallel that they just never seen before, and automatically Raw was going to be a great show. Now, granted, there was other segments within there that, you know, still were a little flat, pretty interesting. I laughed at Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis' whole thing. It was a little dumb, but I also thought it was kind of funny, you know. So overall, like, there was elements of it that were really good.
Right.
There was some that I didn't care for. And at the same time, that's just usually a 3-hour show. You're not going to like every single moment. And people are just overriding the bad segments and letting that decide what is a good show for that week over what is bad. So I think people just get lost in the time, and they get lost. Their opinion gets lost on the little things that they didn't like, and letting that drive their whole opinion.
What do y'all think of the social? You mentioned Mike and Maria. What do y'all think of the social media response of Mike Kanellis' career is like over based on one segment after he just signed a 5-year deal with the WWE to stay? Career over. He's dead.
Career.
He's buried.
It's buried. I don't know. Could you be alive if you're already buried? Like, I don't know. I never took him seriously to begin with. So I've never looked at him as, I mean, that's terrible. I never looked at him as being alive in the first place. So I don't know.
How snap.
She's like, who is this fucking clown? Wow. I don't even take this guy serious.
I guess here's my thing is one, the when they came out as a couple, it was never something that where they were like, kind of that like serious, like kind of what you're describing, right? Like they weren't like, you know, serious and edgy. They were kind of goofy. Like it really was supposed to be Mike's all about Maria. You know, and
talking about pre-pregnancy, right? Their original debut.
When they originally debuted,
okay. Yeah.
And throughout before he had, you know, took that time and was gone, like he was off TV forever. But that whole concept was always kind of silly.
But I think it would have worked if you stuck with it. It would have gotten over. I think so too. I always go back to New Day. New Day took forever.
Yeah.
To even get a absolutely. Reaction. And sure. I think if I think it would have worked if you stuck with it, but you know, circumstances allowing, it just didn't get there, but
right.
Yeah.
But this idea, and we've talked about this before, this idea that anybody's ever completely dead in the water in the WWE, I think is ludicrous. You're dead in the water when you're released. If they find something for you and you run with the ball, you can make things happen. Cody Rhodes, for all that we've talked about AEW today, one of the things that I never stopped being impressed with Cody Rhodes is no matter what he was given in the WWE, he was going to sell the shit out of it. Period. Whether it was Stardust, whether it was Dash and Cody Rhodes, whether it was the faction he was in with DiBiase and Orton, it didn't matter. He was going to make it his. And you got to respect that. And if you do that in the WWE, you got some. Drake Maverick is a perfect example. Ron Killings, perfect example right now. Is those guys ever going to main event WrestleMania? No. But we just spent a good amount of time talking about them.
I just don't think how I still don't understand how people can say that they don't find the 24/7 angle entertaining or they think it sucks. I don't. What more do you want? I mean, you're getting people who you never seen, you've never seen on television. And they're becoming one of the parts of the week that you're looking forward to the most. You follow either of these guys on Twitter, it's nonstop. You're going to get something three times a week from these guys, and I love it. I love it. This is some of the best stuff they're putting out right now, and it goes back to what you said about Cody Rhodes. These guys are committing themselves to this 100%, and it's paying off. And that's what you have to do. You can't go in this half-ass expecting it to work. For a guy to get his wife's permission to shoot at her wedding, and I understand right. That wasn't the original vowing, but to the fact that, hey, baby, I know we're getting married today, but I need you to listen. We're going to bring some cameras. Ron's going to come, and we're going to shoot this whole thing right after.
And he's going to hide under your dress.
I mean, come on. This is such great shit.
So. Well, it goes back to why are you a wrestling fan? I mean, Raw is a variety show. You get a variety. It is the same show where you get Drake Maverick and Ron Killings, but also you get AJ and Ricochet. You know, it is what it is because it is the largest wrestling program in the world. The more people watch it than anything else. So when you have 3 hours to fill, you're gonna have a lot of elements on it. And ultimately, some fans love the comedy and love the drama and love the storylines. Others just love the wrestling. But you're not going to get just one thing within 3 hours. And if you don't like wrestling because, you know, you don't like comedy in your wrestling, you don't like drama, you don't like relationships, you don't like flippy stuff, whatever it is, that's WWE is going to give you all of that. And if you don't like that, then that's not going to be the product for you. If you like wrestling for a very specific thing, find the promotion that does the very specific thing that you like.
And back to Patrick's point, you're not going to get it because AEW, to what he said in their pre-show, mirrored WWE's sports entertainment. You're just not... Great point. You go find something else, but guess what? You're not going to find a promotion that has specifically 100% what you're looking for. You're just not going to find it. It's not out there.
It'll be interesting. I really am interested to see what happens when AEW has their show on TNT when it kicks off and what that show really is. Because it was just really fascinating to me, and I caught a little flack for it because Twitter's awesome. Where I just said, I wrote, it was like, you know, we're not going to do sports entertainment. It's going to really be about athletic competition in the ring. And then we opened the show with, a Firefest parody and mannequins and models. And I get that it was a parody and I get that it was a joke. But it's just not what you see. Now, the main show was, you know, it was almost like two different shows. Like, and I think that's the other thing that was really interesting is that, you know, the main show itself really didn't focus as much on the goofy. It didn't really focus as much on what you would call the sports entertainment-y stuff. It did have those sort of athletic in-ring performances. It had some hardcore stuff, and that's really where it was. And so there was a little bit of a different edge to it. I think that they're going to start to skew a bit more towards a balanced product, like what Miranda was describing and what you were agreeing to, Rick, because you're going to have to if you're on TV every day. But we'll see.
Somebody just commented, Drake Maverick posted a video, granted, oh, yeah, 7 hours ago on their honeymoon. Right. I mean, this is the stuff it creates, and you have to enjoy it and go with it. So what does Drake lose first, his wife or his title? I mean, it's just fun, entertaining stuff, you know?
Right.
It's nothing, it's not meant to be taken serious. It's not meant to be on the level of Austin and Rock. It's meant to be to laugh and have some entertainment to the World Wrestling Entertainment Company. I mean, it's in the name, so take that. I don't know.
I bet he's gonna lose his wife first. Like, he's gonna hold on to that title like no other. And I'm already just anticipating all of the shenanigans and trouble he's gonna have at home. And I'm here for it. Ruin your marriage for my entertainment, you know, like that.
Right.
Come to right now. And I appreciate his commitment to this. You know, if this man is willing to put his marriage on the line for us to be entertained, well, we got to support that.
24/7 title is the new homewrecker of the WWE. It's replaced Mandy Rose.
Without question.
Breaking up marriages.
Wait, what did you say?
You didn't catch the episode where I went off on Mandy and how I didn't like the angle of her trying to bring up Naomi and the Uso?
Mandy Rose?
Yeah.
Mandy Rose. What did you say about her?
She's a homewrecker. All right. Or I hated the homewrecker angle. Oh, what did I do? I missed something.
No, just go on, Patrick.
All right. Well, I'm sitting here. We've teased an hour. We've gone our hour. Promises were made at the top of the show.
Yeah, Rick. We don't want to make you a liar or anything, but
right. Yeah, like what's this Hall of Fame now?
Let's do it. So I've been speaking with Greg, and I said, Greg, I think it's time we come up with a Hall of Fame for the chair shot.
Sting. It's Sting. I got it.
And he goes, I agree. Who are you thinking? And I told him, and he said, absolutely not. I said, Greg, but this is why. This person deserves to be in. And I fought with him. And he finally just gave in and said, you know what? Yeah, go ahead. So the first inductee into the Chairshot Hall of Fame has had many impressive accolades. But before we get to those, let's talk about the person. This speech was approved by Greg, by the way. So,
oh, dear.
A mentor in the podcasting world, he is. He has been through some trying times of collusion, dishonesty, and disrespect with his past co-hosts. But even with all of those struggles, he has managed to overcome them with pure positivity and the utmost forgiveness for those who are not as fortunate as he to be such an influential podcaster and even a better host. I am proud to announce that the first inductee into the Chairshot Hall of Fame is myself.
Oh,
and
is yourself.
Yes, I want to thank myself. I was the one who decided to start the 2MB Wrestling Podcast, which at one point we all know was the flagship show of the chairshot.com. No thanks to that clown, Matt Rabb, who bailed as soon as we got a sponsor because he couldn't hack it. I also want to thank Greg just a little bit for not just taking in my show, but adding a product to his site, which grew the ratings tenfold. I think I deserve this honor. I deserve this honor so much. And as the first inductee, I am shutting down any more recommendations for future inductees. When someone as high in the podcast world as myself gets inducted, no other inductee can make it any more prestige than that. I am thankful for this honor. Patrick, I'm... Look, you've been with Greg since day one.
Right.
And the fact that you'll never be in here, it just breaks my heart.
I'm crushed.
The fact
me and my 433 followers are all really sad.
The fact that the publisher will never enter his own Hall of Fame, it hurts me. But you know what? I can promise one thing. As the only inductee in the Chairshot Hall of Fame, I promise you we will be releasing more great, great content from many a times when Greg bails in the future. I think, I think y'all two with myself, Hall of Fame inductee, we can do some great things together.
Are you trying to take Greg's position on the podcast? Is that what I just heard there?
Is this a takeover?
No. Right. This is two out of 3 weeks he has not shown up. One more time.
Hashtag Big Rick takeover.
If it happens again, we're going to have to, us three are going to have to Skype before we get Greg on and just figure some things out.
have a family meeting.
I can have all your sound bites, Miranda. All I have to do is hit record and pause, and I have your sound bites. Patrick, I'm never going to move away from the East Coast, buddy. I'm here. I'm here to stay.
No, I know this is what I like. This is like that when we're the fall and winter time, man. Like this is my ideal podcasting time.
And I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with Miranda. But Miranda, we have to be honest. Last week or 2 weeks ago, it was great to be done for 10 o'clock.
Hey, that West Coast time frame, that is a great thing. That is not my decision. So I love being done early because I talk a lot too. So, you know, it just means that everyone gets done early when we start early. And I feel like this is almost like a political speech, you know, all these promises and with the swaying of the buttons and the sounds. I mean, I'm easily swayable, so I mean, period. So you know.
Well, yeah. Man, I don't know what to say. Thank you, I guess.
I mean,
this is an honor that I never thought.
Congratulations, that committee of one putting you over.
It must have been a very hard decision to make.
Was it deliberated upon for hours?
It was. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was a clear number one.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest here.
Will there be a physical Hall of Fame for people to visit?
And I spoke with Greg when I hit the lottery, which one day, this was a real conversation, by the way.
I'm sure it was.
I texted Greg because me and Matt Rabb were talking, and I texted Greg and I said, I swear when I hit the lottery, I'm going to, because I lived in Nashville for 2 years. I said I'm going to rent. Why? Why not?
It's a fun place.
It is a fun place. I said I'm going to buy an office space on the 50th floor, and it's just going to be the Chair Shot studio, and I'm going to hire everybody that is a part of the Chair Shot on a substantial amount of salary.
On JR money.
Well, we'll get there, but but to answer your question, there is going to be a physical Hall of Fame one day, and my name's going to be on the plaque.
Just your name.
Okay.
Yes.
I do expect that the next time that you have to fill in for Greg, there should be some sort of nameplate on the mic stand, like, you know, Hall of Famer. Like, you can make that happen.
Yeah.
Something, yeah, just like right there along the
Once Greg hears this, there is going to be no more when I fill in for Greg. It's going to be no show next week because I'm out of town.
Yeah. Greg's going to stop, you know, taking the little O'Dowds to swim practice so they can make sure that the show goes off.
Chocolate starfish.
You guys no. Uber back from practice. I got to shoot it too.
No more vacations. Not going anywhere, Mrs. O'Dowd. You stay home.
But in all seriousness, guys, I enjoy your show. I listen to it every week. And I do want to thank Greg for having me fill in with him. And he's done a lot for my show. And there was at one point where my show was doing very, very, very well. And I did have to stop it. But thanks to Greg and people at the Chair Shot who definitely helped put it together. I just want to say you guys do a fantastic job every week. Keep it up. And it is an honor to fill in for Greg and to talk wrestling with you two. So thank y'all for having me on. Because originally there was no show.
That's true.
So, correct, yeah.
Warms my heart just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah, you saved the show.
You did it.
Well,
but it was.
I told Patrick when he told me I want to talk about this, this, and this. I said, dude, it's y'all's show. I just hit the record button. Talk about what you want to talk about.
Right, well, and then we stopped talking. I talk about whatever you want to talk about now. No, it was good. Thanks for filling in. It's, you know, it's always nice to be able to get the show in when we can. And, you know, Miranda, it's clear that there can be life after Greg.
Apparently. Rick has shown us this whole new world. I think, Patrick, you always thought I was kind of the enemy, but maybe it's the other way around.
I mean, I always see the other co-host as a threat. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, we've had the three-person team. Like, I'm always like, Greg, are they after my job? Like, what's going on, man? Like, what's happening here? So,
as Patrick says, you know, in the intro, you're just going to replace me.
Right, you're just going to replace me.
But we just ended up replacing Greg, so I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
Wow, that's a swerve.
Well, I guess the last thing to do is to see if Rick can take us home as well as Greg does. Call it an A. Hall of Fame goodbye here. That's what I'm looking for.
Greg's been doing this a lot longer than I have, but I will say, Miranda is not on Twitter.
No,
let's
not
hope
on Twitter.
By WrestleMania 36, she is on Twitter.
She's lost a bold prediction bet,
and you can find Patrick at Wrestling Realist, WRESTLNG. Realist 433. We're gonna get you to 500 before Survivor Series, Patrick. I swear that is my goal.
#goals.
And if you hit Miranda, if he hits 1,000 followers before the Royal Rumble, will you get Twitter?
1,000, I will. Yes, if he hits 1,000 before Royal Rumble 2020,
yes.
Yes, don't try and push it out 2025. Don't play me like that.
2020, yes. Next year.
Next year, yes. Then I would definitely get a Twitter.
Well, there you go.
Wow, that is quite the out, man.
That's the bold, you know?
I don't know. It's the best I can do.
He's really planning on all these people who love the Young Bucks just sweeping in. Just
I know. I'm worried about Rick's next tweet about me. Patrick O'Dowd.
It's coming. Yeah,
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
See, Miranda, real quick, do you see when we hashtag Miranda? Do you ever see that?
When I lurk, yeah. Like, okay. When I'm, you know, if I'm purposely just, you know, trying to find out what's happening online and I lurk a little bit, then yes, I do see it, especially when Greg does it, because then he sends it to me to make sure I see it. Right. But sometimes, you know, I'll kind of, you know, do a little bit of my own.
A little vanity search. Well, all right.
Everyone does a little bit of a vanity search.
No, I don't. That's why I only have 433 followers.
Hey, you and Platt are the two, and there's several more, but you and Platt stand out as two people that should definitely have over 5,000 followers. Y'all do have some serious credibility and some good insight.
Very true, Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. On that note, this is your inductee to the Chairshot Hall of Fame, Big Rick. You can find me on Twitter at TheBigRick62. Find Patrick on Twitter at WrestlingRealist. #Miranda, which normally #Miranda show comes out after the Greg DeMarco show on usual weeks, correct?
Correct. We are taking a little bit of a hiatus this week, but we'll be back soon.
That'll work. All right, guys, that's it. TheChairShot.com, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Miranda, Patrick, thank y'all. Had a wonderful time this evening, and it's not even 8:30 where Miranda is, so let's let that sink in.
All right, good night.
Y'all have a good night. Thank y'all.
Yes, take care.
When you see me rolling by, you know that I'll be high. We smoking on that Buddha, 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 Buddha. And you know that we be all. We gon' smoke it till it's gone. When you see me rolling by, you know that I'll be high. We smoking on that Buddha, 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 Buddha. And you know that we be all. So when you see me, I'll be gone. When you see me, I'll be gone. Like a bird, we flying high. Looks like we on. We on. We getting closer to that sky. Fuck almost famous. New chapters turning pages. Breaking myself about these cages. Anything less just seems outrageous. Trying to predict where this road will take us. A mastermind. Smoking on weed just to pass the time. Too impatient to stand in line. That's asinine. That ain't me. Attitude.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.